Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I am James Pinkner, as always, by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Stu. Stu, how we doing, buddy?
Well, James, we are just doing well today. Another beautiful Saturday, off and on rain here in central Indiana, but looking forward to some horse racing today, looking forward to some football talk today. Well, how are you doing, though?
I am doing great. I'm looking forward to the Derby this afternoon. I have money on a few different horses. But, Stu, you are our resident horse guy. You have more experience with horses than anyone I know, so for all of our listeners, assuming this comes out before the Derby starts, which I think it should, who should we put our money on?
Well, you say horse experts, and let me just give a couple qualifiers to everyone out there. I am the younger brother of the trademark horse girl that was always at your school. She fell in love with horses, so I, as the younger brother, was always dragged to the different events. My first job was taking care of horses, you know, mucking out stalls, feeding them, that sort of thing. So when we talk about I have, quote, more knowledge than average, it's more just I know how dumb they can be. There are some pretty dumb horses out there, and you have to be a little careful with how you handle them. That said, these are top-of-the-line athletes. These are majestic animals. Anyway, my pick for the Derby, after basically no research and at least 60% going by how cool the name is, I'm going to be picking Sovereignty. The breeder is Godolphin. He's a colt, and he's being ridden by Manuel Franco. So Sovereignty is my pick to win the Derby this year, and obviously that's correct. So go ahead and put your money on Sovereignty as well, James.
I think in all horsing events, I'm assuming that's what they're called, horsing events.
Mm-hmm. Yes, events to horse, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best way of picking stuff is what names you like. And the one that that jumped off the page to me was definitely Tiztastic. No other stats on Tiztastic, just that it's a great name, and I put a little money on him to mm-hmm. win. But we got a good show planned for y'all today. We're going to talk about risers and fallers for your fantasy teams after the NFL draft. I think we're both going to talk about three of each, so we should give you 12 names to think about, maybe a little bit more. But, Stu, do you want to go ahead and give us your first riser? Who, after the NFL draft, are you looking at in a little bit of a better light?
Absolutely, yeah. Might as well talk about the more positive aspects first with the risers. We'll get to the negative stuff later and be sad for some of these guys a little bit later in the show. But one of my risers, and I'll try to keep separate from the names that we talked about last week when we talked about the draft more properly, but my first riser is Jordan Love, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And I think, honestly, risers are going to be, a lot of them are going to be quarterbacks because, mm-hmm. you know, there are teams that drafted quarterbacks, you know, like Will Levis is over there in the corner crying and tears streaming down his face. But, you know, the other quarterbacks, they're getting offensive linemen, they're getting weapons, they're getting direct things to help them succeed. And I think Jordan Love is one of those guys. We did not talk about his new weapon in Matthew Golden last week. First round wide receiver coming out of Texas. Now, head coach for the Packers, Matt LaFleur, is absolutely allergic to talking about a true wide receiver one. But this is the first time in, is it decades that Green Bay has taken a wide receiver in the first round? I'm not certain on that. I thought I heard somebody say that. But Jordan Love having more weapons is nothing to be sniffed at. And as well, in the second round, they went ahead and beefed up the offensive line, taking Anthony Belton out of NC State. So better protection, better weapons. Jordan Love last year was somewhere around the mid-quarterback two rankings I'm seeing. He was quarterback it was like 17, quarterback 17. So something like this, I mean, he's a young, talented guy. He's shown flashes in the past. He could very well vault into the low quarterback one rankings, maybe even some upside for more if we can kind of figure out how to get the Green Bay offense moving. It's got the weapons. It's got Josh Jacobs. It's got more wide receivers than they can really hold, beefing up the line. I really like the moves that Green Bay did to kind of vault Jordan Love into the next tier of production for the 2025 season.
Very nice. All right. My first one, well, mine are also at least mostly quarterbacks. And all of mine were actually rookies last year. So my first one is Drake May, quarterback for the Patriots. So the Patriots were not the best team in the world last season. And Drake May did show signs of his potential, but ultimately he was let down by a myriad of factors, coaching, offensive line play, whatever. But the Patriots clearly showed their intentions of supporting him in the NFL draft. They had 4 picks in the first 3 rounds, and all of them went to offensive players, 2 of which were offensive linemen. The number 4 pick overall was Will Campbell, tackle out of LSU, and their second pick, I believe, was third round pick was Jared Wilson, center out of Georgia. So definitely taking expensive draft capital and using it to protect your quarterback is a great thing. But also, besides taking Travion Henderson as a running back who we talked about last week, they also went and got him a new wide receiver in the 3rd round, Kyle Williams, wide receiver out of Washington State. So Drake May, I expect to have more support, especially with the protection there. Stu, who else you got as a riser?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was honestly going to pick Drake May as well, so I'm really glad that you talked about him too. Really think he can take another step forward. He's got new weapons. Stephon Diggs also signed with the New England Patriots, so there's that that veteran presence who's going to demand the ball from Drake May. So I'm excited to see what he can do. He might be a sneaky value in fantasy drafts later this year. My second is slightly different in that he isn't rising in my mind because of additions that the team made, but more so that they did not draft any competition for him. I'm talking specifically about Chase Brown, the running back from the Cincinnati Bengals. He was, you know, he was a prospect early in 2024. He really started to turn it on over the course of the season, and he had a really excellent season overall before getting injured late in, I think it was week 17, like right before the playoffs. So that was a bummer, but he made it in standard leagues as running back 12. So he's young, some like 25, 26 years old, something like that. 25. Yeah. So I definitely think that he's still going to retain the lion's share in an offense that is led by Joe Burrow, helmed by Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. There's tons of value to be had to get Chase Brown to get that much of the pie, essentially. There's really nothing that they drafted since they went pretty defensive heavy outside of the 3rd round getting a guard or two from Georgia. So, like Chase Brown, definitely think he's going to be kind of a premium in drafts later on this year, but I'm not unwilling to pay a little bit for a guy that's really got little competition.
I do like that pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Chase Brown, good choice there. My second riser. Technically, I guess the one person I'm picking here is Caleb Williams, but honestly, every part of the Bears' offense, I think, is getting a boost this year. So your DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift, all of these guys are going to benefit from the complete retooling of the offensive line that the Bears did over this offseason. And this isn't necessarily a draft thing. I know they drafted an offensive lineman, But the three big moves they made over the offseason were getting Joe Tooney from the Chiefs, Drew Dahlman from the Falcons, and Jonah Jackson from the Rams. These three additions to their offensive line, which that line was just disgustingly bad last year. If Caleb Williams has like half another second to be able to read the field, to be able to get the ball to his players, which we know he has the physical ability to do it, it's going to be a rising tide lifts all ships sort of situation. So not that I'm going to be bullish on the Bears this draft season, but I do think that you're going to get a little bit more production out of DJ Moore, probably closer to what you were expecting when drafting him last year rather than what you got. So good things happening in Chicago generally.
Generally good things happening in Chicago. There might be some mild homerism as a new Chicago resident for you, but I'll maybe wait and see. I'm excited for Caleb Williams. I hope that Caleb Williams succeeds, but for my last riser, I'm going with a little bit more of a veteran quarterback pick, and that is Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. So I talked about Emeka Egbuka with one of my selections in our mock draft last week, and Baker Mayfield, he's got a complete team around him. They've got a good offensive line anchored by Tristan Wirfs at left tackle. Now they've got wide receivers Mike Evans, who's going to be penciled in for 1,000 yards again this season. Chris Godwin, who's coming off of a significant injury, but has always been a reliable option. And now this, superstar in the making, Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State in the first round. I think Baker Mayfield was maybe a little bit undervalued last year. I don't think he's going to be undervalued anymore. He's in the few mocks that I've been doing, and you should be doing mocks right now. I mean, the draft is over. You need to start getting your research going, everyone. Only a few months to go. You can get a few hundred mock drafts in before then. Anyway, Baker Mayfield's going much, much sooner in drafts now. He's not going to be undervalued anymore. I think he's going to be a fantastic option for the 2025 season. And you know what? That just kind of makes me happy. I've always been a Baker Mayfield fan. I was always sad how his tenure with previous teams ended. I'm glad he's found a home in Tampa Bay, and I really hope to see him succeed. I mean, last season, 71% completion percentage, 41 touchdowns, 4,500 yards. Could be as much or more coming into 2025. So really excited about that. James, why don't you finish off our risers with your last selection?
My last riser, this is going to feel a little bit like a cop-out pick, but I'm taking J.J. McCarthy. So I know you literally can't go from zero to anything but rising. So that's partially why I'm taking J.J. McCarthy, but also just looking at the situation he's going to have. Obviously, no more quarterback competition, but the Vikings did make moves during the draft and over the offseason to help themselves out. They did go and get a couple offensive linemen, veterans, to start immediately, including Ryan Kelly, a longtime center for the Colts, very talented, very intelligent guy, to lead that offensive line. Also, they went and got a guard, Donovan Jackson, from Ohio State in the draft. So there's going to be some added help there. And having a veteran offensive line to help a young and inexperienced quarterback is always going to be a good thing. Also, in terms of the Vikings receiver room, one of the best in the league, the rich kind of got richer when they drafted Ty Felton, wide receiver out of Maryland, in the third round. A lot of people were saying that was kind of a value pick too, based on how athletic this kid is, how fast this kid is. So J.J. McCarthy, while I'm not expecting him to blow the doors off anybody, I do think that he could show something, and he's rising from zero. So I'll accept that I'm copping out a little bit with that, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm what's the term I'm looking for? I'm morbidly curious is more accurate of how J.J. McCarthy is going to do. Mm-hmm. So those are our risers, people who have had their stock improve following the NFL draft. Now let's talk fallers, people who have had their stock deplete. Mm-hmm. And Stu, I made you lead off on the risers, so I'll take the first of our fallers. And my first faller is a guy who is going to have his stock deplete based on what I thought was one of the best picks of the draft last year, or this year, last week, and that is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, free agent, has basically had the door slammed shut in his face for a return to the Browns when they drafted Quinshon Judkins. Nick Chubb, returning from however many injuries he's had and a really lackluster return to play when he was healthy last year. He's going to find a team. His career is not over, and there's still a little bit of explosiveness left in him. But where he ends up landing is going to make a big impact on really how much of an impact he can make. I'm looking at maybe Dallas, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. All these teams need a running back or need depth at running back, at least. And having a veteran talent like Nick Chubb, who does have experience being one of the best running backs in the NFL, could definitely help help these teams who have been struggling a bit. But Nick Chubb, the days of seeing him at the top of fantasy drafts, at the top of rushing charts, those days are over. Nick Chubb, happy trails, buddy. Chubba chubba choo-choo.
Chubba chubba choo-choo indeed. Yeah, so big fan of Nick Chubb. Kind of sad to see the twilight of his career coming on pretty soon, but it happens to all of us. We can't beat Father Time unless we're Tom Brady. Okay, so my first faller, and I'm realizing that I picked a lot of running backs for the fallers, so I might as well start off with one of those, and I'm going with Najee Harris, who's currently employed by the Chargers. So I have never been a huge investor in Najee Harris. He's always been this kind of he's not really a sexy pick, I guess. He's kind of a mediocre option, maybe a firm RB2, nothing to get too excited about, but gives you reasonable production week in and week out. I don't think that that's going to happen anymore. So Harbaugh in Los Angeles, he loves to run the ball. That's great. Fantastic. They went ahead and got Omarion Hampton from North Carolina in the first round already, and they've got J.K. Dobbins on an unrestricted free agent. He's probably going to go back there if I had to make a guess. Now having those three heads in that backfield, that looks nasty to me, and I think Najee is going to be the first name kind of shunted off to the side as more of a depth piece than anything that's going to be fantasy relevant for you. He doesn't get injured too often. He doesn't fumble too often. He's just mediocre production in a crowded room. That is a recipe for disaster for anyone who was ever interested in Najee Harris. I think he's getting a little long in the tooth as well. He's something like 27 years old, which is crazy to me because he's younger than me and I'm talking about him like he's an old man. Anyway, he is not someone I'm excited by, not someone who I'm going to be investing in. If he gets drafted in drafts, it's going to be very, very late in my opinion. So let's turn these running backs out to pasture and get the new blood in here, shall we?
And how weird is it knowing that basically from now on, almost every guy we talk about for the rest of this podcast career is probably going to be younger than us.
We're going to have to get used to it because we're never going to be younger than them again.
I know there's like this point in every sports fan's life where you're no longer looking up at guys. I mean, all these guys are taller than me. You're pretty tall, Stu, but
they're still taller than me, probably.
But It's just a weird transitionary period, and, you know, quarter life crisis makes me want to go buy a Corvette or something. But my second faller, besides, I guess, life itself,
yeah,
is
besides us.
My second faller is Jerry Jeudy and basically every other Browns wide receiver. We all know by now that the Browns selected two quarterbacks in the NFL draft, Dylan Gabriel from Oregon and Shadur from Colorado with his historic slide. But also, Deshaun Watson is still there and still injured and still probably not going to play this season. Which means right now, the number one player on the Browns depth chart is who? Joe Flacco. Also, Kenny Pickett is there. There is no vision at quarterback for the Browns right now. There's really not a whole lot of vision for the team, period. And that spells nothing but disaster for any Browns receivers. Jerry Jeudy has kind of been cursed by this same kind of situation his entire career. And it's just not getting better. Jerry Jeudy, I do not see having a follow-up to his really sort of breakout season he had last year. Not that it was like that big of a breakout, but it was his best season in fantasy. Hopefully the fantasy gods smile on us and have him be traded to, you know, Washington or any team with an exciting young quarterback who can make use of his talents. But, you know, poor Jerry Jeudy. Sucks to be him right now. Yeah. Stu, faller.
Hey, do you remember something like 6 years ago? Uh-huh. When we were doing Fantasy Footbeer, we were prepping for that, and we were talking about the draft, and you said to me that if you were building a franchise from zero, Jerry Jeudy was that wide receiver prospect you were going to take. And you asked me if I agreed, and I said, no, that's CeeDee Lamb for me. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? I remember that. I think about it a lot, you know.
Yeah, one of those takes aged a little bit better than the other one, and I do still owe you a CeeDee Lamb jersey.
I always thought you were supposed to buy it for yourself because you have to make up for your doubting of CeeDee Lamb. Anyway, it's been like 6 years we haven't done that yet.
it'll happen. I promise it'll happen. Probably when CeeDee Lamb is in the Hall of Fame after a record-breaking career and Jerry Jeudy has not done that.
Right. He's retired quietly to the suburbs. So you talked about the Chicago offense kind of rising tide lifts all ships. They're all getting a little bit better. I'm not sure all of those ships are rising. My second faller is Cole Kmet, tight end from the Chicago Bears. He's had flashes in fantasy. Don't even tell me he hasn't, because he's been on my teams before. He's been a good contributor before in years past. But now we've got a new head coach down there in Chicago. This is the head coach that turned Sam Laporta into this all of a sudden flash in the pan, top 3 tight end option going into the 2024 season. And now they've used their first round pick on Colston Loveland, a direct competition to Cole Kmet's production. I don't see this working well. This is going to be the Loveland show. There's a lot of mouths to feed. You mentioned DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. There's a lot going on in Chicago, and I hope it can all mesh together, but I don't think Cole Kmet is going to be in anyone's mind going into the 2025 draft season or even throughout the season on the waiver wire. Like, it's not great. I feel terrible, but some of these ships that are on the rising tide have holes in them, and I think we're seeing one of them capsize as the Chicago Bears look towards starting their training camp. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. It was fun while it lasted. He's got great hair, I can tell you, but even at 26 years old, it's over. It's ogre.
Yeah, I got a Bears calendar on the other side of my basement here where I'm recording, and It's Cole Kmet month, so yeah.
The Cole Kmet month.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But lastly, my last faller is another wide receiver who is experiencing some quarterback troubles, and that is Chris Olave. Chris Olave has shown himself to be one of the better young receivers in the NFL, part of that influx of Ohio State talent. But much like the last guy I talked about, Chris Olave is going to struggle from basically no viable quarterbacks in the New Orleans Saints organization. Derek Carr is obviously hurt. He's probably going to still be out for a while. There's rumors he might miss the season again. And the Saints did select a quarterback in the NFL draft, Tyler Shough out of Louisville. A little bit about this guy. He's 25 years old going in, and he spent 7 years in college. Now, you can point to this and be like, well, Joe Burrow was in college for a long time. He came out guns blazing and was fantastic. There have been other guys who've had similar things happen. But I will say there might be a reason why this guy was in college for 7 years. If you're not going to have people knock on your door and say, hey, you're talent is knocking doors down, you should probably enter the NFL draft, and the only people who are begging to give you NIL money is Louisville. Just saying, pure pocket passer talent isn't really enough to do it in the NFL anymore. You have to find ways to extend plays on your own, which I'm not really sure Tyler Shough is going to have the ability to do as a rookie in the NFL, especially with his background. Now, the Saints did take a solid offensive tackle at number 9 overall. They took Kelvin Banks, but I really doubt that's going to be enough to really move the needle on the quarterback play for the Saints and, in turn, receivers. So, Chris Olave being as kind of a, I guess, diva-y guy that he can be, he's either going to demand the ball at all times or he might demand the door. So, Stu, last faller.
Yeah, Chris Olave, that's going to be a mess in New Orleans. I mean, he's already got an extensive injury history, what with concussions. He was knocked out last season on a really, really nasty hit. But, I mean, it was Derek Carr, Spencer Rattler, now we've got this new rookie coming in. I don't see it. I'm not interested in it. It's going to be disgusting, almost vomit-inducing, I think, the play in this. They call it the Superdome, right? I'm not crazy. Yeah, Superdome.
The Caesars Superdome.
Sure, the Caesars Superdome. Anyway, so my last faller is another running back, New England Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson. Now, some people in the NFL get only one strike, and then they're gone. I think Ramondre's getting his one strike, and that was his 2024 season. He massively underwhelmed. He fumbled 7 times. He was benched for his fumbling. Antonio Gibson kind of became the guy in New England, such that it was. I mean, New England, as you said, was not a very good team, 4-13, something like that. It was gross. But now they've gone ahead and drafted Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Explosive runner. He's averaged 7.1 yards a carry in 2024. Now he's running behind Will Campbell. I think Ramondre Stevenson is going to be a depth piece at best when he has been drafted in the past 3 or so years as a stable RB2. I think he had his one strike. I think they are not even slowly easing him out the door. It will be very little that you can rely on for Ramondre Stevenson coming into the 2025 season. It's going to be the Henderson show, I would expect, in New England as they try to figure out the personality of this team led by a young quarterback with these new weapons. Whoever's going to be able to take that running back role It's not going to be Stevenson. There's no way. I don't see it.
Couldn't agree more. Trevion Henderson, also just ridiculously good running back, great athlete. All right, and I think that's all of them, right?
Sure is.
That's our 12 guys.
Yeah, those are our 12 guys. We just hit the 30 mark, so we are making strides as a duo for podcasts, because we used to run over by 20 minutes or so. Look at us. Look at us now.
All right. Hey, who'd have thought? Look at us. All right. With that, let's go ahead and close this thing out. Dr. Stu, what are you drinking today?
Well, I still have some Easter beer, some of the gifts from my mother-in-law. Different one from Lagunitas today. This is a little something-something ale. This is a smooth and silky IPA, 7.5 ABV. Got really outstanding scores on beeradvocate.com. You should get on beeradvocate.com if you aren't already. Really good information. Try to figure out what kind of things you may like. Not sponsored, of course. What are you drinking this afternoon, James?
This afternoon, I am drinking a delicious German Dunkel from Hofbräu München. I've been doing a Cicerone class recently, learning how to be a beer aficionado, I guess. And the first beer that they went over in the class was the German Munich Dunkel, one of the oldest types of beers there is, and it is the type of beer that I'm going to be drinking right now. So, Stu, let's crack them in. 3, 2, 1. Mine was a bottle, so that one is interesting.
Mine will pick up the slack for you, because it sounded good.
But we do get to pour, though.
So, couple things before we say good night and good talk. We are on social media. You can follow us on Instagram. We did decide that we do have a handle on X. Is that what you call it, a handle on X? And we do, or did at some time, take beer requests at a Gmail account. I think fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. You can email us and say, hey, one of my favorite beers is this. You should try that on air. See what you think about that. So, follow us, talk with us. We're always happy to chat with people anytime.
All right. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, that's going to do it. I'm James Kemp for Dr. Michael Stewart. Good night and good talk.